I'm Hillary McClure, Vice President of Multimedia Productions at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Alyssa Valentina Knight, a renowned cybersecurity specialist, an American author, film director, producer, and a board member for Conceal. To learn more about Alyssa and her work, you can visit her website at alyssaknight.com. Alyssa, welcome back. It's so great to be speaking with you again. It's been a little bit.
Thank you, Hillary. It's good to be back. I've missed you.
I know.
It's been a minute, for sure.
It has. You took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, it has.
Sorry, I saw that.
How have you been? I know you've been very busy since the last time we recorded an episode together, and we're going to talk about something specific, but just, you know, generally, how have you been?
I've been good. We're continuing the construction on our house. It feels like we're in a constant state of construction. We've been, that's been a journey to trying to do that in the middle of a pandemic. I think we're going into 6 months now of waiting for our couch. And what we're being told is that there's a global foam shortage.
Wow.
So it's been pretty rough. But so I would definitely not recommend anyone remodel their house or do anything with construction during a pandemic if they can avoid it.
You know, as I mentioned in the intro, you're a film director and a producer, and you have a new miniseries debuting in next week. We're recording this a week in advance, and it's called Ransom. So I guess that's kind of there's a lot going on there. So Alyssa, can you tell us more details about your being a film director and producer, as well as your involvement with this new miniseries, Ransom?
Sure. Yeah, I'm probably the most unique person in people's connections list on LinkedIn and Twitter, right? Like, who goes from being a hacker to being a director, a producer, and you know, working in Hollywood? And that's really how I've reinvented myself yet again with Knight Studios. So what we're doing at Knight Studios is bringing industrial light and magic to cybersecurity. We're really trying to fundamentally transform cybersecurity marketing, because we really feel like with the oldest millennial turning 40 and a lot of the decision makers today ingesting content differently than when I was doing it 20 years ago, people were all about downloading and reading white papers and blogs. Not to say that they don't do that anymore, but a majority of them now want to ingest content differently, and that's through video. And so what we're doing is we're creating these sort of mini series, as you said before the show, was these franchises of shows that we weave the cybersecurity product into the story arc. So while you're binge watching these Netflix style series, you can go back to the office or what have you and buy the product. So we're big believers in Simon Sinek's "People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it." And the best way to show why you need a particular product is to tell it through a story. And that franchise, that business at Knight Studios as part of Knight Group, has taken off in a hockey stick growth rate. We really believe that this is the future of cybersecurity marketing, that people are tired of being advertised to and marketed to, and they really want to fully understand why they need a product versus what it does and how it works, but why they actually need to invest in this product, because there's so many things out there. There's so much snake oil out there. There's so much just in the world today, as far as cybersecurity controls, new product market categories, all of these things that have really transformed the cybersecurity landscape. And CISOs are trying to figure out, I think, why they need something in particular. And the best way to tell that is through a story.
Completely agree, especially coming from a background in advertising and marketing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I remember when I was in it, I was like, people are already getting sick of this. Where are we going to be in 5 years' time?
I mean, if you think about it, I've run the same Google ad campaigns. A majority of the clicks on ads aren't humans, they're bots now.
Yeah.
You're paying all this money in advertising fees for bots to be clicking on your ads. And I just feel like, especially in this pandemic, with everyone having moved home and binge watching Netflix, binge watching Amazon Prime, people want to be affected at that visceral level. I think the best way to tell a brand story and why you need to be doing something is to explain the problem. You know, a lot of the times, I like to say, people don't realize they're on fire until they see the flames.
Yeah.
I feel like the storytelling that we're doing with these different franchises, with Ransom, Scorched Earth, and all of these other different series that we have that we've produced, it's a great way to explain these problems and how they play out and how they could potentially play out at your organization by watching it on TV, watching it in these series. So that's what we're doing.
That's awesome. And so for this series, Ransom, I watched the trailer. It looks really awesome. I'm excited to watch it and see it. And it says in the trailer that it's based on a true story. And I know you were a consultant and a co-writer. So I'd love for you to tell us more about, you know, without giving anything away, of course, but I'd love for you to tell us more about that.
Yeah. So I'm taking parts of my life and putting them into these screenplays. So as the director for these films and these TV shows, I'm actually the writer in a lot of these franchises. So I wrote this script and I took periods of my life and put them into the storyline. And I don't want to give away too much for the show, but yeah. So Scorched Earth was based on the 55 banks that I hacked in less than a week. And then the interesting elements in Ransom, the main, without giving too much away, the main antagonist in this widow is she's actually playing me at different points in my life as well. So it brings the story arc a lot closer to home for me in writing these screenplays when I'm basing it on actual events and things that I went through while growing up as a hacker. You know, some of the experiences that I had and some of these journeys I went on to get to where I am today. And, you know, everything from my arrest to working for the U.S. intelligence community and all the things that played out afterwards. So my life story plays out in both of these franchises, Scorched Earth and Ransom, and will continue to play out in the other franchises that we have. So I know we're probably going to talk about that later in the show. So, but, you know, we've got this new FBI series based on the BAU, Behavioral Analysis Unit of the FBI. And there's some parts of my life and work that I've done in the past that play into that story arc as well. So we're excited about a lot of the stuff that's happening right now. One of the things that you did touch on was that as premiered AMC, we were excited to announce that we've been officially signed as a studio with AMC Movie Theaters. So they're premiering our films in all 1,200 of their theater locations nationally. We have the opportunity to be able to premiere a new show for the series of the companies that we co-produce with these cybersecurity vendors at these AMC locations around the country. So we're excited about it.
Oh, wow. That's really exciting. Congratulations. That's incredible.
Thank you.
So you mentioned putting parts of your experience and yourself in each of these series, Scorched Earth, Ransom, others in the future that, yes, we'll talk about in a little bit. But as far as technical accuracy, I know that that was something that was really important to you and you were passionate about when writing, when directing these. So as far as like Hollywood failures, not to call out any fellow directors necessarily, but you know, there's a lot of failures out there and whatever, you know, it's not just cyber, but there specifically a lot of failures out there with regard to hacking and cybersecurity film. You know, was that what kind of made you want to be involved in this project as well and content creation in general, kind of being like, well, I could do that better?
I got into all this in the early 90s, right? So it was a very different time. And at the time, I think Hollywood was really struggling and trying to figure out how do we create Hollywood magic around this idea of computer hacking and how do we represent this subculture that a lot of people at the time just didn't fully understand. At the time, all hackers were bad. There was no such thing as white hats, black hats. If you were a computer hacker, you were this evil person. Trying to portray cracking a password file to Jane on Main Street through a three-dimensional cube that you're spinning or whatever the director at the time decided to do was what the decision they went with. And eventually just did become very frustrating for me in watching these films, starting from Sneakers to the movie Hackers. Mm-hmm. You're right. It just wasn't technically accurate. And today is very much a joke. But I think we still, for that, to just bring us back to that time, still watch them out of fun for that entertainment value. But I feel like what was so successful with, you know, Rami Malek with Mr. Robot was mm-hmm. the technical accuracy of that series. that we in cybersecurity could watch it and like, wow, that's a Wi-Fi pineapple, or that is an actual Android backdoor tool that you can go download. And that accuracy was there. And I feel like that's really what helped, was the impetus to the success of that franchise. And so I wanted to get a lot of, I was inspired by a lot of that work from that show, as well as Black Mirror. And I wanted to be able to transform cybersecurity marketing that really was modeled after this bingeable series that you would just, you couldn't go to bed. You watched one episode and then you wanted to watch the next one, even though it was 1 a.m. in the morning. Yeah, you wanted to keep going because you couldn't move on to the next one. You couldn't go to sleep without, you know, watching that. So that's really what I've tried to create here at Knight Studios, is have people become just obsessed with these brands, obsessed with these stories, fall in love with these actors, and question, why am I rooting for the antagonist? Why am I rooting for the bad guy? And understanding from the hacker's perspective what it's like from her eyes in being a hacker. And it's a story you rarely hear. Usually stories are told from the perspective of a protagonist,
right?
Not the anti-hero, not the villain. And so a lot of our franchises are built around the perspective of the anti-hero, and as the audience really not knowing, you know, how do I feel about this? I'm rooting for her and she's the villain. But telling that story, because each and every black hat, each and every gray hat or white hat, everyone has their own experiences and their own story. And it's not always black and white. It's not always good and bad.
Definitely not. And if I'm putting my advertising hat on, because I have no white, black or gray hats to my name, if I put my advertising hat on, I'm thinking of, and just like strategic hat in general, I'm thinking about how, you know, in order to protect yourself, you need to understand your adversary. So I think from that strategic standpoint, it makes a lot of sense to showcase that versus just look at all of the wonderful things we can do. Isn't it great? You're going to be so safe. Like you're kind of totally 180-ing that and being like, this is what you're up against. Like, are you ready?
Yeah. Yeah. And that, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I talk a lot about that, and forgive me if I'm repeating something I've told you in the past, but this book that changed my life was this book called Blue Ocean Strategy. And it was written by two MBs out of Harvard who started the story out on the story of Cirque du Soleil, and how the creators of Cirque du Soleil didn't want to compete against Barlum Bailey's circus and make a better circus. What they wanted to do was redefine what the circus was. Mm. It was this idea that you could eliminate your competition by making it irrelevant. They weren't saying, oh, we have better elephants or we have spookier clowns. They completely created their own experience that was more experiential. And that's really what we're doing, is experiential marketing, right? So they created this new idea of what a circus could be, because you had people that didn't believe in the animal cruelty, you know, didn't support the animal cruelty, didn't like clowns because clowns are freaky. And so they really wanted to change the idea of a circus. And so that's really what this concept of Blue Ocean Strategy is that you're not comparing your product, your NDR, your XDR, your EDR, or whatever. You're not comparing your product to your competitors based on features, because you're commoditizing your product by doing that. You're basing it on, we have a lower price, or we have these features, but those features can be copied by your competitors. They can outspend you and get offered deeper discounts, whatever it may be. So instead, we're working with our clients, these co-producers essentially in these film series, to tell a story about why the company needs their product and what can happen if you don't have their product in place. And it's all based on empirical evidence and data that's happened, things that have happened from my life or things that have been in the headlines. So CISOs and decision makers can say, okay, I get it. It's not about the fact that yours is faster or yours supports AWS versus Azure or whatever feature you've got. It's, this is what can happen to our organization if we don't use this product. And I'm seeing it play out in front of me. And oh, by the way, to solve for that future cybersecurity talent gap, my kids are in here watching this with me, and we're watching it as a family. And I get a lot of those messages, believe it or not, on LinkedIn. It's like, we watch your series, your films with my kids, and they're excited about cybersecurity because of these shows, and you're bringing that to them. So it's definitely, I think, adding a lot of value in different areas.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't believe that. And I think that that's really important for the cybersecurity talent gap. Not that I was even thinking about that, but I'm glad you brought it up because I've had that conversation with lots of folks about how it, you know, cyber isn't necessarily presented as the sexiest career. And so you're not, you know, kids aren't always watching things like that. Like they would everything else under the sun that we are so totally used to as far as careers go. But yeah, you're bringing that, you're kind of servicing that as well as, like you said, experiential marketing, another thing that I used to do for a time. And it's a great idea from an experiential strategy standpoint, because these types of experiences are what we've all pivoted to during COVID and quarantine and lockdown. Right. But it's also an experience that you can bring to a C-suite, to whomever is making those decisions, that perhaps it's not a CISO. It's their, you know, the CISO's up against everybody that doesn't speak the same language as them and doesn't understand why they have to allocate these funds for this thing that they can't see, taste, touch, feel, whatever. Like, why is that even really working for us? What are we like?
Right.
Does every company get hacked? Like all those different questions that I'm sure CISOs deal with on a daily, probably a daily basis, but at least on a, you know, annual basis. And you can, yeah, you can plop them in front of it and be like, here you go, watch this.
Yeah.
And you can see.
Yeah, exactly. And at the same time, educates with that entertainment, right? So you're entertaining while also educating. And it's gotten to a point now with all these new product categories, with all these different options, that I feel like sometimes CISOs, decision makers, what have you, are really getting confused by what's out there now and the actual idiosyncratic distinctions between these different technologies and what they, trying to understand the difference between what they need versus want. We've seen technologies throughout the acquisitions over time. Turns out that these products weren't their own product category. They weren't the flagship product, but a feature of another flagship product, which is why we see so many roll-ups in cybersecurity. But I feel like telling these stories in the way we are, it helps these CISOs have a better understanding of the technology stacks that they need to consider building and what can happen if they don't.
As I mentioned earlier, you're a board member for Conceal, and you've made, you know, Knight Studios has created these miniseries franchises in tandem with Conceal. So what was that process like? Was this an idea that you brought to them, or was it something that they brought to you, or did it just happen organically? I'm curious.
Yeah. So believe it or not, a lot of our growth has been through inbound sales just off of our work, where someone will watch a show, you know, and then reach out to me on LinkedIn and say, we want this for our company. This is amazing. Yeah, let's do this. I believe, if my memory serves correctly, Scott Grew over at the time, Net Abstraction, they later rebranded as Conceal, reached out to me, I believe, and said, look, you know, I saw what you're doing with these other companies, we want in. And I got to meet Gordon Lawson, amazing guy. Love him to death.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, and really just got it. Like you have some, you know, CEOs and some CMOs that I'll meet that just immediately they get it. Like, yes, marketing is changing. Trying to figure out how to cold call people at home who are not returning back to the office. Just marketing, sales in general in this pandemic has changed radically. And we need to figure out how to reach these people and get in front of them a lot more in a different way. And I feel like they get it, that this is the best way to reach out to them and reach them and affect them at that visceral level that only a film can. And so he got it immediately. We clicked. And in addition to signing up for the season of producing every single one of these episodes in the season, he also brought me onto their board of advisors, and I'm an advisor for Conceal. And we actually, if I know you've been following me for a while now, you know that I sit on many boards, and that tends to be our MO, if you will, where we'll work with a company, and they'll want not only just us to create that content for them, but to also to be an influencer for them, because I'm also a cybersecurity influencer, so influencer marketing. Speaking at their events, just being a part of the brand and having that vested interest in the company's success. So it's worked out very well. I think I sit on 5 or 6 boards now at this point. It's incredibly exciting to see these companies go from where we've met them to where they are today. And we've had several companies just give us that empirical data that, hey, look, your franchise that you created for us, this miniseries you created us, produced this much in sales and, you know, helped fill that top of funnel that you traditionally, it's difficult to get through other forms of marketing, and be able to know that we're making a real difference. We're actually doing something really cool that's translating to results for these startups, for these companies, these venture-backed companies that are looking to market themselves differently and separate themselves from that bloody red ocean into blue ocean strategy. So yeah, it's exciting.
That's really exciting. I would love to nerd out with you on that. let's nerd out on the numbers.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Very cool. And so I guess Ransom is debuting this coming week, but is it one episode at a time, or, you know, I guess a couple questions, like when does Ransom come out? When does Scorched Earth come out? How can people attend premieres or stream digitally? All of those details would be fantastic.
Sure. So we are currently working out the production schedule, but it looks like for the next three releases of Ransom, episodes 1, 2, and 3, we've already begun working closely with Kelly Michaud, who's a genius. Love working with her.
She's great.
Amazing person. She is actually already pre-planning the premiere events for all three of the first episodes. So after this comes out in, which is August 8th, is the premiere night at Black Hat, during Black Hat briefings at the AMC Town Square 18 at 8 p.m. is the premiere. Then episode 2 will be premiering at a conference in September, and then episode 3 will be premiering at an AMC in October. So that's what I love about working with Conceal, is they're very much go big or go home.
Yeah,
like, look, this, we get it. This is it. This is the Kool-Aid. We need to do this big. Every new episode that comes out, we're gonna do a Hollywood style red carpet step and repeat.
Wall. Amazing, love
premiere event. Yeah, exactly. And they're so they're. I really respect Gordon and Kelly and Lacey, all of them, for that. That this is big. This is really cool what we're doing, and we want to release it, premiere it in a big way. So for those of you who can't make the premiere event because they're not coming to Black Hat, it will be streaming on their website at ransommovie.conceal.io. So if you miss the premieres, you can log into their website and watch the full episodes as they're released. And we're looking at a monthly release cadence at the moment.
Okay, awesome. That sounds... Oh, it's like the ideal client. client of yeah, everyone's dreams.
yeah. I mean, it's cool to be working. It's always really cool to be working with a company, working with a client that gets it.
Yeah.
They're just invested. It affects them at the same visceral level that it is you as a creator, as a director and producer for the film. They are very much co-producers. And so we create an IMDb page profile for them. So they are actually on IMDb. We submit the film to the film festivals. I'm excited to announce that just yesterday we found out we've taken yet a third award home from Cannes. So we have 2 Cannes awards. One is official selection, and then we took home an award for best visual effects for 2022.
Wow, that's awesome.
So yeah, so we're getting awards. And so in addition to creating the content for these companies, being an influencer for them on my platform, we're also putting their brand and their product out there in front of more eyes through these film festivals. And so it's a really, I think, exciting journey that we're going on with our clients. And it's always fun when you have a client like Conceal that gets it and understands how much is going into this.
Yeah, totally. That's incredible. So I guess apart from these series, you know, what other projects does Knight Studios have in the works? I know I saw something about coffee this week. I love coffee. just tell coffee. Us more.
Yeah. So I feel like my mantra in life has always been live as many lifetimes as I can in this one life. And so I really want to do as many things as I can. I just found out a few hours ago, some incredibly sad news. I just found, so many of you know that I was the CISO of Quantic Bank. 2 hours ago, I found out that Steve Schnall, the CEO of Quantic Bank, was killed in a horrible motorcycle accident.
Oh, God.
And I just found he was just the most amazing guy.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. I had the honor of working with him at Quantic and just really developing an awesome relationship with him after I left Quantic and resigned, realizing I had just really taken on too much by trying to be a full-time CISO and everything that I'm doing. Even after resigning, that relationship, that friendship continued. And so my heart and my thoughts go out to him and to his family. He was an amazing guy. For those of you who don't know Quantic Bank, they were the first bank to announce Bitcoin rewards and move into cryptocurrency. Steve was definitely a barrier breaker and amazing in his own right. So, but we've got all these things going on that we're developing and continuing to create. I'm excited to announce that we just got a new series. For those of you who watched Criminal Minds, I was obsessed with this show for a while.
It was a great show.
But yeah, it was a great show. So Criminal Profilers in the Behavioral Analysis Unit at FBI. So we've just signed this new co-producers cybersecurity vendor called Tego Cyber. We're starting a new series based on Criminal Minds, but it's BAU2, which is the unit within the FBI responsible for cybercrime and white collar crime. And so we're working closely with Tego Cyber. I've just joined their board, and they've also brought me on as their new CMO. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Because I'm so bored and I don't really have that much to do, you know. And they're publicly traded. It's a super cool threat intelligence platform that I'm excited to be a part of. And we're going to be starting filming on their new series. It's called Dark Ops. The filming is going to start in September. So we're putting out the casting calls for actors. It's a full Hollywood process here. So we've got the Hollywood studios. We film in Hollywood as well as Las Vegas. And we put out the casting calls, look at the submission videos from the actors, select the actors, and go through this whole process that you would a traditional, you know, Netflix series or even a feature film. That's going to be coming. So keep an eye out for Dark Ops. And finishing the other series that we have as well with Scorched Earth with No Name Security and some of our other co-producers as well. So, and then the coffee venture. So I've always been obsessed with coffee. I'm a huge coffee connoisseur. I love coffee. And so I've always also wanted to open a coffee shop. So Mel and I sat down and, you know, we had this opportunity to begin a new franchise and we've named it Night Coffee Co. And so we're going to be roasting and distributing our own coffee beans now and opening a coffee shop. So I'm awesome. Super excited. Yeah. So all of you can bring Alyssonite into your cup in your house with the official Alyssonite bean. But we're super excited about it. There's a lot going on at Night Group, at Night Universe, and with all these new ventures with the Hollywood studios and now the coffee company. The plan is to begin shipping our first roasts in about 19 months. So I'm sorry, not 19 months, 9 months. Oh my God, is it going to be? Hold on, let me make sure I've got my time down right.
So I would believe either. It's 19 months sounds reasonable to me without knowing anything.
Yeah, sorry, 19 weeks. Okay. So you know we're looking at a Q4 is when we're going to start shipping our first roast. And then the plan is to actually, Mel and I are looking at different studios here in Las Vegas. So the plan is to actually open the coffee shop as part of our studio. And we get quite a few requests during Black Hat DEF CON to produce live streams and events for cybersecurity vendors when they're here. And we have had multiple requests for studios. So we thought, well, we need to open a studio for Night Studios. So we can start doing a lot of our own filming in our own studio. And why not during Hacker Summer Camp, make our studio available to these cybersecurity vendors that are all coming into Las Vegas every year. So we're super excited. You're going to be able to order the coffee on our website. So even if you're not in Las Vegas, you can have a bag of coffee shipped to you. And we're also looking at doing K-cups and the Nespresso coffee pods. So we're excited about it. Doing a lot of new things.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, that's so exciting. And just never a dull moment with you. Every time I speak with you, I'm just like, oh, yeah.
There's always always what something,
else? What else?
Right?
What else can I ask? Like, there could be a question I'm not even thinking of, unrelated to anything, but I should be asking.
Next is the clothing line, right?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Alyssa Knight fashion.
So, yeah.
No, I don't think
that's logistical. That's heavy.
Good of a job at that. that's a lot. That's a lot more than coffee. That's for sure. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Alyssa, it's been so nice speaking with you again, and thank you for coming back on the show. And I'm looking forward to meeting up with you next week because I will be in Vegas for Black Hat and for DEF CON. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm so excited too. Yeah, it's going to be nice meeting you in 4D. I feel like I know you so well, but we've never met in person. So
I know. It's
going to be nice to break some bread with you, have a cup of Joe, drink some coffee. And,
absolutely.
Yeah. You travel safe, and thank you again for having me back on the show. Yeah, I love being a repeat guest.
Yes, yes, I love it. Until next time, well, until next week, you know, talk to you later. But then until next time on the show, it was nice speaking with you, and I'm looking forward to the next time we get to have an episode together.
Me too, Hillary. Thanks.
I'm Hillary McClure, Vice President of Multimedia Productions at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Alyssa Valentina Knight, a renowned cybersecurity specialist, an American author, film director, producer, and a board member for Conceal. To learn more about Alyssa and her work, you can visit her website at alyssaknight.com. And for more stories like this, visit all of our media at cybercrimemagazine.com.